Hi, welcome to Tech Take with Martin Schrey. Today I'm going to cover Kudu and SCM, the Service Control Manager. These are elements that you'll actually find as part of your Azure website. Probably don't even know they're there, but they're hugely helpful. So what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about a brief introduction, the idea of self-hosting or IaaS, Infrastructure as a Service Hosted, or PaaS, Platform as a Service Hosted. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but the intent is just to talk a little bit about kind of where Azure websites fit in this, and then ways to host on Azure, real brief look at that. That's just to give us context. From there, we'll take a look at Kudu, which is the code name for the Service Control Manager. We'll find out what it is, where you can find it, and what can you do with it. You'll find it provides a wealth of information on your Azure website that you probably want to have access to and weren't even aware it was there. Finally, we'll wrap up with what we've learned today. All right, getting started. So from a cloud perspective, there's, you know, on-premise. You have your own data center or set of servers, you're running them, and you're responsible for everything that goes on, from the network to storage to servers, to virtualization, OS, middleware, the runtimes, data, and applications. If you move over a little bit, you start to embrace the cloud, you have infrastructure as a service. And here, the provider is taking care of the networking, the storage, servers, and virtualizations. From there, you're applying the OS, the middleware, the runtime, and data, and of course your application, to this virtual machine that's hosting your application. So you're responsible just for the purple piece. So literally moving from on-prem to infrastructure as a service, you've gotten rid of, or delegated, if you will, some of the things that you were managing to actually be managed by your vendor. There's another bar here that we call the platform as a service. And you'll see here that the piece that you're managing is just really the application and data for your app. All this other stuff, the runtime, middleware, OS, patching, and all that stuff has actually been delegated to the vendor. And then there's, of course, the business model piece, which is effectively how your customer sees your service. So maybe it's a SaaS service, software as a service, and they're just using your application. So what we're going to focus on today is actually this idea of platform as a service. And the reason we're having this kind of upfront conversation is when you're running an Azure website, you probably want to have some information about your application. And you probably want to see kind of real-time information about your application. And that's actually what Kudu will do for us. So we're going to focus on this piece. Now you might be saying, okay, on an Azure side of things, how do I get this platform as a service? I've mentioned Azure websites. It turns out that there are a couple of ways to approach this. Azure websites and cloud services. So from the old portal perspective or the current portal perspective, you'll see that there's websites and there's cloud services. What we'll talk about today with Kudu is only true for Azure websites. With cloud services, you have more power, you have more control, but you actually have more to kind of configure and be responsible for yourself. With Azure websites, you have less of the flexibility, I guess, but less responsibility as well. And Kudu fits specifically to Azure websites. So we're gonna look at that momentarily. So certainly Azure has a bunch of other cloud services that are available for us to use. But I just wanted to frame really Kudu, or platform as a service, lives in kind of these two spots, and specifically we'll look at Azure websites today. All right. So in Azure there are a number of different ways to host web apps. You can certainly use a virtual machine, and if you kind of look at our scale here of ease of use and control, virtual machine, we looked at previously, kind of you're responsible for everything from deploying the OS to patching and all those types of stuff. So ease of use, not as easy as some of our other options here, but certainly the level of control, you're controlling your VM, you have a great deal of control. Cloud services kind of sits in the middle here, where cloud services gives you fairly easy use of it and a fair amount of control. Azure websites drives the meter way up on ease of use, right? You can kind of deploy PHP and Python and Node.js and Java and .NET apps pretty easily, just point and click kind of deployment, frankly. But the level of control you have isn't as high. So you might be saying, like, what do you mean by level of control? So you're not going to be able to install custom software packages, for example. Can do that in a cloud service, can clearly do that in a virtual machine. Can't do that with a website. On the other hand, websites, as a platform as a service offering, have a number of things that make them very easy to interact and use. And we'd like that. What might this be? Well, that will bring us to our Kadoo. And you'll see that I can find Kadoo. Essentially, if my website is mysite.azurewebsites.net, you can get to Kadoo, or this Service Control Manager site, by using that same URL and just inserting SCM into it, SCM being the Service Control Manager. Okay, but you might be saying, okay, you've told me where I can find this thing, but what is this Kadoo, Martin? Well, it turns out that it's an open source project living on GitHub, and essentially Kadoo is the engine behind Git deployments of Azure websites. So you might be saying to yourself, hey, I'm not using Git, I'm using Bitbucket or a number of other things or Visual Studio Online to do my deployment, so why do I still need this? What we'll see is that Kadoo actually offers a whole series of other things. Yes, it does the Git deployments of Azure websites, truly does that, but it also provides a bunch of other facilities that are available. One of the cool things about it is an open source project. You can actually take a look at it. It's an ASP.NET MVC site underneath the covers if you go look at the source code for it. And the documentation here, I guess it would be nice if I showed you the URL here. So github.com, Project Kadoo, kadoo.wiki. It covers off on a number of topics. So how does this thing actually work? Well, it talks about accessing the service. I showed you a little bit of how to do that. Customizing deployments. Site architecture is a nice thing to actually take a look at. So it's a single tenant. So don't think of this as a meta site where, you know, you go to manage all of your websites from here. Think of it as I have an Azure website, and for that particular website, I want to go in and see what's happening with it. So Kadoo actually gets deployed with your website. They share the same file system. And when we look at the processes, later you'll actually see that it runs on the same host as your website. You can log into it using your Azure credentials, and you'll notice here it says it runs on the site, same site as your site effectively. And so therefore, if we scroll up a little bit here, it shares the same quota for the site. It uses the same CPU, RAM, and disk. So there are some things, not a huge number of things, but some of the diagnostic things that can take a little bit more computing power to do the diagnostics while your site's running. So you probably want to do, if you're going to do those types of diagnostics, you probably want to do them when your site is not under a heavy load. So pretty cool if you want to read about that. If you want to check it out, deploy it, if you want to fork it, you can do any of those things. There's also a bunch of additional detailed documentation on it. So what is it? Effectively, the way to think about it is the mechanism for deploying Git projects to Azure websites. But it actually provides a whole bunch of diagnostics and other useful things that we'll see as well. So you might be saying, okay, Martin, what are those things? So here's a super simple Azure website, and it's a node site, and I warned you it was simple, right? So the canonical Hello World example. The idea of the site really isn't to demonstrate necessarily a deep, complex site, but it is to give us the ability to take a look at the Service Control Manager. So you'll notice there that what I did was I went into the URL, which was shreynodetest.azurewebsites.net, and I simply added SCM to it. Having done that, I can now hit enter, and it will actually take me to the Service Control Manager, the Kadoo site, for my Azure website. We'll give it a second to actually do that. So it provides a little bit of information about it. It shows the build number of Kadoo itself, shows my site's uptime, the site's folder, and the temp folder. Interestingly enough, all the things that go on underneath Kadoo, all the facilities that we see kind of here on this menu, let's take a zoom in on it there, from environment to the debug console to process explorer to tools especially, a lot of these facilities are available through these Rust APIs. So for example, I can click on API settings and it's actually going to make a RESTful call and bring back the data as a JSON document. So I should have a different plugin here to get a little bit better formatting, but nonetheless I get a JSON document back with the configuration app settings. If you click deployments here, what you'll actually see is an empty JSON array. It turns out that this site isn't a Git deployed site. So this, I basically FTP'd this site in, and so it's not using that. So it's not an error that it's blank. It literally, this list of deployments only shows up if you're using the Git deployment piece of it. So that's just good to know. I can also get a list of the files that are part of the site, which is nice as well. Process and mini dumps. So the nice thing about this is if you want to programmatically work with some of these things here, you can actually use the RESTful APIs. And there are others, this is a nice subset of the APIs that you can think about working with. If I go to the environment, this is actually the environment of the web server. So all the typical things I might want to know is about the system information or the app settings that I've set up as part of my Azure website, or the configuration strings, or environmental variables that are in play for my server, the path of different pieces, the HTTP headers, for example, and server variables are all there. So from a debugging standpoint, certainly as I scroll by incredibly fast, you know, you can go look at the details of these things, but certainly super useful information to have an understanding about the environment your system runs on. Of equally high value is the debug console. So this isn't really a command prompt, but it certainly feels like one. And I can do the normal kind of DOS command prompt, or I can do PowerShell. Let's start with the DOS command prompt. So this is pretty cool. It actually shows you the directory structure for my site, which is home. I can look at the underlying file system of the actual virtual machine that I'm sitting on as well, which is pretty cool. And I can get back to my home of my site, the site root, and the system drive. So a lot of good information there. Let's actually navigate back to my site. So one of the things you saw there, I can go down here and I can say cd into site. I can do a dir, and you notice that this part updated. I can also, as you were seeing, navigate from this part. And you'll see here that I can download a file, I can edit a file, and I can delete a file. Now, if this is a production site, using edits and those types of things are probably not the best idea in the world. If we take a look at edit, and we take a look at our server.js file right here, we'll see that we require HTTP, we open on a port and listen, and when we get a request in that port, we send out our response of hello world. Not too exciting. And then we start listening on the port here, obviously. You'll also note that I do a console log here. So let's see. If I drop back to my directory structure here, head over to log files, and navigate into application, you'll see that there are a number of log files. If I look at if I take a look at them, you'll see that this one is dated, it's the most current date. So let's just take a look at that. So I can say more, actually do a tail 5C. DB91. You're seeing my incredible typing skills here, which I know all of you are impressed by. There we go. All right. So you'll see here that I can, I've done a tail on the file. Tail the F essentially monitors the file, so I can see anything that happens to it. And if I grab this URL, I come over here and paste it, and I get rid of the SCM piece of it. Zoom in here so you can see it too. All right, so we get rid of the SCM piece. There we go. And I get rid of the debug console piece. We'll basically just be back to the root of my site. So there's hello world. No surprise there, right? You've seen that before. Okay, so that's kind of cool. But now if I look at my diagnostics log and tail, what we should see is that it is, if I refresh this guy a few times, that my tail's not showing. That's awesome. I love when that happens. Let's just back out and refresh this here. Application. So. Alright, well, clearly my logging's not being done. What happened here, you might say? Well, if I look at this logging errors text file, you'll see that it disabled Azure Drive logging since, well, it about this time here, right? July 2nd. Well, that looks fairly close to that time there. So if we go and take a look at it, what you'll find is if I go to the Azure Management Portal, I go to that app, I select the Configure tab. If we scroll down to Application Logging, there's a couple different options: the file system, the table storage, and the blob storage. You'll notice that if I turn on tracing to the file system, we could fill the file system up, obviously, which would be fantastic. It remains enabled for 12 hours. So if I go ahead and save that, you'll see it's updating the configuration for the web app. And when it's done with that, it succeeded. That's good. We should be able to see our application actually write some things to the logs. So let's go back and give that a try. All right, I'm gonna switch tabs here, go back to our diagnostics tab. So you remember how we got here? We were, let's bump back to here, right? So we went to log files, we went to application, and we can grab the name of the file we want to look at here. In fact, let's go back here and hit the site a couple times to see if it creates a new file. There we go. So it created a new file, so it's good I hadn't tailed the file yet. So let's actually do tail. Let's actually use the file name. Look at that. Isn't that cool? Copy paste, dash F. And if we go back here and refresh this a few times, you'll see that it actually is logging. In fact, if I grab this and snap it out, this one back, put this one on the side, put this one on this side. We can actually see that it's doing logging, which is pretty cool, I think. All right, so we've taken a look at the debug console. You can issue command and PowerShell commands from the console. That's pretty cool. Let's take a look at the Process Explorer. So Process Explorer actually lets us look at the processes that we have running. In our case, we should see a couple interesting things. First off, you see that we have the W3WP.exe. This is the IIS worker process. And it makes sense if we look at, you might be saying, what's going on here? Well, this is a node site, so IIS is essentially getting the request and saying, oh, you actually want node to process this. It's passing it on the node, and node is actually getting the request and replying with the response. So it makes sense that the IIS worker process underneath it has the node XE running because it's passing the traffic into it to be processed. You'll notice also that we have another instance of W3WP. So we're not on this, we're not running in the same IIS instance. We have a separate one, but here's the service control manager. Let me zoom in maybe to see that a little better. There's the service control manager, and you'll see that we have a command XE open, which is a web job, and under that we have DOS Runner. Does that sound like a German name, DOS Runner? Well, it turns out that we'll look at that in a minute, but it stands, I know you're dying to know. So it stands for the Diagnostics as a Service Runner. Okay, so this provides details on our site. It also is cool because we can look at the properties. We can see the process handle, the name of the process, the file location, command line that started it, as well as different information on thread counts and file counts and working set. We can also kill it if we want, not recommended. And we can download a memory dump if we want as well. So that's pretty cool, and we can refresh this. I don't think anything will have changed, but nonetheless, it's pretty cool. I guess the thread counts may have changed. So that's pretty cool. So we've taken a look at the debug console, environment, we looked at Process Explorer. Additionally, there's some tools. So diagnostic dump, what it does is it essentially gathers up different files from the application, zips them down, and provides you with a zip. So this isn't a super active site. The deployments directory can show you what's been deployed, nothing because we're not using Git on this site. It can also show us our log files, which included, remember, our application logs, that's pretty cool, and any site extensions that we have going on, and event logging. Now you might be saying, hey, I don't see server, you know, the typical kind of server event logs I would see there. What's going on with that? The reality is that on this site here, oops, that's not it. On this site here, you'll actually see that I have not turned on web server logging. So if I turn on web server logging to the file system, lo and behold, we'd see some files that were part of that. You'll see that's limited to, off the bat, it's limited to 35 meg. I think it caps out at 100 there. So if you want, remember, it's a virtual machine it's running on. So if you want your log files to be around for longer-term analytics and all, you really should be storing them in the storage, your storage account, as opposed to the file system. But what that will actually do is, if we have some requests that came into our site, now, I'm just going to make a few requests to the site here, get rid of the SCM piece, in case you're wondering. Wow, that was super gigantic. Is that what we're looking for? Let's try that again. There we go. So if I get rid of the SCM piece and make a few requests to the site, our server log should actually be getting populated. And if we actually go back to here and went to our tools and looked at our diagnostic dump, should take a little bit longer now because we have hopefully the log files that are part of that. Okay, so if we go to Tools and we go to Diagnostic Dump, what you'll see is that it creates a zip file, and this zip file provides access to the logging that we did from an application perspective. So you might be saying, okay, you enabled the server log, is it dumped with part of that? The answer is no. But if we go back to our debug console and we look at, so we take a look at our log file, so same level as the site here, log files, and now notice that there's an HTTP directory. We were in here earlier looking at our application logs. They're still there. But now if we go into the HTTP log and look at raw logs, and we actually hit edit, you'll see that there are our raw logs getting rid of it. So we can go look at them as well. Pretty cool. We can also do a log stream. So if I... If you click Logstream and you haven't enabled the web server logging, effectively nothing happens. It just sits here and spins kind of forever. So if that happens to you, you know. We've enabled them, so what should happen is that it will spin a bit, and it will actually give us, there we go, click on Logstream. It's going to wait, and it should start live streaming our log here in a second or two or five. All right, well, it took a couple seconds there, but it is doing streaming. If we hit the site a few times, there should be some more things that appear in our live stream. There we go. Slight pagination delay there, I guess. Yay. So pretty cool. I like that. Very cool, actually. All right, so... You'll notice also that this is just a RESTful call, basically, we're getting here, which is pretty cool. So if we pop back in SCM here, there we go. You can also register webhooks. So, for example, the current one that is built out for right now is post-deployment event. So if you provide a URL and actually subscribe, you can... have a webhook called that when the deployment's done, your webhook will actually get called. And there are services like Zapier you can use, for example. There's probably others, but Zapier is one that you can use to register these webhooks, or you can create your own, obviously. All right, so we've also covered a number of things, other things here. Download deployment script. If you hit this one, unless you're a Git site, there is no deployment script. So you'll kind of sit here, and you'll get a 404. You might feel, oh, that's not right, that's bad. But the reality is, since we're not a Git deployed site, there isn't a deployment script. Why? Because it turns out that I'm using Visual Studio VSO, Visual Studio Online, it's actually using the Visual Studio build infrastructure deploy, so there is no deployment script. So if you get a 404, don't be shocked or surprised, unless you're using Git. Finally, there's this piece which says support. And the interesting thing about it is, now you're thinking, like, what is it? It turns out that this is our friend DOS Runner. Remember DOS Runner? Well, it's just DAS, Diagnostics as a Server Service. The process that was actually called DAS Runner. So if we take a look at our app here, if we look at a site here, such as, well, here's a running site, Divi Ajax. Here's the node test site that we've been looking at. And you can see that it will show you the site itself or even the SCM site, traffic to the SCM site, or all. So if we just look at the site itself, we can see the average request and response. So a little bit of activity here as we record, as well as the average request per second and average server errors. So that's pretty cool. So that's the observe piece. Analyze piece actually lets you look at a number of elements, including the FREB log. So failed request event buffer, FREB. Effectively what it is, it's tracing that you get from IIS, and because IIS is actually part of Azure websites, it is the failed request buffer. The reason it's called buffer is if an item doesn't fail, it's buffered, doesn't actually get written to disk. It's when it actually fails that it gets written to disk. So that's pretty cool. So there is no diagnostics because I'm running on the free shared tier. But if we were to switch to a site that actually is not on the free shared tier and took a look at Analyze, you'll see that we can look at event logs and memory dumps and the HTTP logs. And if we happen to be running a PHP site, which in this case I'm not, we can look at the PHP error logs as well as reports. And you click Diagnose Now to do that. Remember, if you do that, you are actually running SCM on the same server, same VM, that is running your website. So you probably want to do that off hours. There's some settings that you can set for it as well. So what kind of gets included? You can refresh it. We can take a look at the event logs themselves. And we can look at different metrics for our site, like working set and CPU usage and those types of things. We can restart the W3 process, and we can actually look at the failed request logs. So failed request here, 404, not found. I don't have a robots.txt site on this site, so that's a looks like a majority of the errors. You can also select your verb, flip the post, not see any post there, which is not surprising. So that's pretty cool. And finally, mitigate. You could actually call the self-healing function of the site. So you can look at things like the max requests and status codes. Oh good, it's updated things and it's healed my site. So essentially this looks at the site and looks at requests per second and may limit that request per second, for example, or work on the memory set. So pretty cool. Kind of self-healing function under support for Azure websites. So you might be saying, like, why would this stuff come in handy? Why would I do Analyze? Imagine you have pages with very slow response time. Imagine you have pages that are timing out, getting an or getting an error 500. It can actually give you a lot of insight into that. So this could be a whole topic in and of itself. So that is Kadoo, our Service Control Manager. What do we learn? I guess in summary, we could say, hey, there's this thing called Kadoo. It's a service control manager. I can take my normal URL from my Azure website. I can plug an SCM into it, service control manager, and it gives me a number of tools to know about the environment, doing diagnostics, and look at my site in real time to see kind of what's happening to it. Pretty cool. We just briefly looked at the idea of support that was there, or diagnostics as a service, DAS. And what can we use this for? If my website's responding slowly, I have requests that are randomly timing out, or we have pages that seem to be just spinning on and on without actually providing content. It can be used, DAS can be used to draw some conclusions about the health of the website, do some analytics against the data set, and actually make some recommendations. So, in closing, you can find the Kadoo project at https://github.com/projectkadoo. You know how to take your URL and plug SCM into it to get to the Service Control Manager. It gives you insights to what's happening with your site. And finally, how do you get this diagnostics as a service? It's actually web, you know, it's whatever your website name is, SCM, Azure Websites Support. So I lied to you there. Sorry about that. This is actually support. It used to be DOS. I don't know if DOS will still work, but support will definitely take you there. All right. Hopefully you've learned something from this, and had a good day. Talk to you later. Probably not talk to you, actually. Probably you'll listen to this, hopefully, and get this far.